The junior hires have left and gone below us. And it is time to jump into the Word this morning. If you want to open up, if you want to go ahead and get ready, open up your Bibles to Acts chapter 9. Acts chapter 9. We're going to look at the conversion. We're going to look at the story of Paul, formerly Saul. The story changed him so much. His name was changed. We looked at the story of Jacob. It's a common theme in Scripture. You would have an experience and you would be so changed by it that your name would be changed, right? The way people saw you, the way they called you, the way they looked at you would be changed. And I hope that you're having such an experience as that this week, that God is changing you and you go back a different person. I was asked by not just one person, but a few people, but last night, specifically by Hester. Hester, are you in here? No, you're not. Anyway, she's not in here, but when you see her, you can tell her that I told the story she asked about. She said, just out of the blue, like I'm walking out the door last night after the little, what do you call the little skits things? You know, what do you call them? Roast fest, yeah. Oh, honestly, I didn't even get roasted. You guys were super nice to me. Thank you, and God bless you. Your eternal gift is in heaven. Last year, the junior hires just roasted me. I mean, they were bringing up stories. It was like they called my mom and they found out stories. I didn't even tell them. And they were telling stories on me. It was so bad. I cried. I ran out of the room. Not really, but it was bad. Anyway, so I'm walking out the door and Hester says something. She's like, hey, Mac, I'll see you later. Da, da, da. And she goes, oh, wait. I said, yeah. And I think, you know, she's going to ask something really spiritual like, Mac, would you pray for me? Or you know what, Mac, you're like, you're so Christian or something like that. I don't know. Anyways. And she said, what's the story? You know, would you tell me the story of your beard? And I'm like, what do you mean the story of my beard? And she goes, well, I just assume that it has a story. And I'm like, I'm kind of taken off guard. Okay, guys? I'm like, no, not really. Doesn't really have a story. And she's like, oh. All right, we'll see you later. Zero cares now that my beard has no story. And so I started thinking, like, okay, maybe my beard does have a story. I don't know. And so I just kind of like, I started replaying some things in my mind and thinking, okay, does my beard have a story? Like, does every beard have a story? I don't know, you know? So I started thinking through and I realized that my beard does have a story. But it started off as an ordinary day in 2013. I was at my office and I was doing work. And my friend at the time, Chad, said, hey, man, No Shave November is coming up. And I said, it sure is. This is around October 25th, maybe about a week before. He said, No Shave November is coming up. He says, I was thinking about participating. Do you think you would want to participate with me? And I thought, Now, at this time, I had, you know, a very tiny, like, little chin beard, okay? Like a really weird little goatee chin. Anybody have a chin beard? Anybody? Yes. Okay, so yes, this is the extent of my growth at this point. Let's see. Yours might have been a little better than mine, honest. Okay, so this is what I had right here. So go ahead and stand up, Nick. This is what I had. Yeah. He is as tall as me, and his beard was the same as me in 2013. But have you guys seen his Instagram? Have you guys seen his Instagram? You have to follow his Instagram. It is the sickest. Like, the things he's doing on it, I've got to be Photoshop. Okay, he has to prove it to us later. He's standing on his head. He's levitating. Anyways, okay, I can't even get into it. All right, you have to. What's your Instagram name? Yeah, you have to go follow it. Go follow it. Okay? It's awesome. Go look it up. Talk to him afterwards. You got to follow his Instagram. Anyways, so that's the extent of my facial hair. And Chad, who at the time had like a really short, like nice, you know, Miami Vice type stubbly beard, okay? And it's good, he's a good looking guy, okay? And I'm like, okay, you know, I'll think about it. And so I ask another friend, his name was Matt. So Chad asked me, I'm kind of, yeah, I'll do No Shave November. What's the worst that could happen? You know what? People will make fun of me or something, and then I shave my head, I shave my beard, and it's all good. And so I go ask Matt, my friend Matt, okay? Now he has an awesome like really short beard. And I was like, okay, this guy, if he grew his beard out, it would look so good. And so I go ask him, I said, hey, this is my first time. I'm going to do No Shave November. And you know what? Chad, my friend Chad, you've met him before. Yeah, he's going to do it too. Both of you guys have awesome beards. Like, it would really encourage me to grow out my not awesome beard if you guys would do it too. And I'm like, yeah. So November 1st starts. We all clean shave. November 1st starts. Chad starts growing it. I start growing it. Matt starts growing it, right? So here we are, started off with an idea. We're all three growing our beards. Well, for me, I just wanted you to know it was a real step of faith because here, you don't know what's going to happen, right? And so I just kind of stepped out and thought, you know what? I'll do it. I will try it out and I'll see what happens. Well, a few weeks pass and hair is coming out of my face like it should. And I'm like, hey, this is kind of working. Well, Chad's beard is looking pretty good, obviously better than mine. He's looking pretty good. And my friend Matt's beard is looking really great. Well, I go and I have Matt over for dinner. Him and his wife come over. He shows up. And I'm so excited. It's been like about 3 weeks, and I can't wait to see how good his beard is. And like, we're going to talk about our beards and all these things. We're 3 weeks in, and like, we're beard care and combing. And so I don't know what we're going to talk about. I have no idea. As to touch each other's beards and place each other's beards on each. I don't know. I don't know what we're going to do. And just excited to have some fellowship of the beard, okay? He shows up. He opens the door, clean shaven. I looked at him with eyes of burning frustration. Luckily, I was unarmed at the time. And I said, you shaved? And he said, yeah, you know, I kind of tried it out and it just wasn't really for me. And I'm like, man, I thought we were going to do this thing together. He's like, man, you know what, sorry. I was like, you only had one more week. And he's like, yeah, I know. Just kind of, I don't know. I just shaved it. Don't know. So I'm like, okay, you know what? No big deal. You can still come in. So I still let him come over. He came over for dinner that night. We hung out. We had a great time. I'm growing my beard. November ends. I'm kind of looking at the beard, and I'm kind of enjoying it. I'm like, hey, this isn't bad, you know? It's a little rough, all right? It wasn't really making it yet. So I grew out the beard for a little bit longer, for a few months. And then kind of the pressure, like, you know, after about 3 months, people were kind of like, hey, are you going to shave your beard? Like, that's cool and all, you know, like, and it was growing in kind of good. Not, you know, not like it is right now, but it was growing in kind of good. And it's starting to get kind of long, and it's like past the limit of acceptable to most people, you know, like casual beard, you know, in the workplace. And so my boss was kind of saying something, and I'm like, well, he's my boss. And my dad was kind of saying something, like, hey, he's my dad. And some of my friends and lots of students had all these opinions. You guys got so many opinions. Thanks so much for those. And you know what? And people are starting to kind of like, hey, is Matt going to shave his beard? It's been 3 or 4 months now. November, December, January, December, February. Now we're going in. 5, 6 months and kind of start get some pressure from it. Well, you know what? As most relationships go, I have since thus, 3 years from now, 3 years have passed. I've learned to groom it a little bit better. I've learned to take care of it a little better. I'm not really concerned what my friend Matt or my friend Chad, if they have their beards or they don't. You know what? When I meet someone and they have a beard, a lot of times we'll talk and we'll have like this little fellowship. But really, it's just kind of, I'm worried about myself. And a lot of people will come up to me and they'll ask me advice about my beard. Like, what kind of oil do you use? Or do you use like, you know, like a gel? Or do you hairspray it? Or do you have like a little, I don't know, some people use like a little paste on it. I don't, but some people do. And, you know, like a little wax and, you know, all these things. They'll come and ask me some questions and I'll talk with them and I will advise them like I've been advising Nick. Look, he's coming in strong. Wait till next year at camp. Full beard. And I realized through Hester asking me that question and me kind of processing through it without even knowing it, really, truthfully, my beard kind of has a story. And I wonder if you have a similar story to that about your beard. Wait, no. About your relationship with Jesus. I wonder if there was a point where it was just kind of in your life, where it was just kind of an idea. Maybe somebody threw it out, or maybe it was just kind of in your family, something to do. And so you decided to step out and you're like, you know what? Normal average day at camp or in life or whatever it is. Yeah, I'll step out in faith and try to follow Jesus. And you started off and it was kind of weak, and you know what, you had a friend that you went to camp with and y'all kind of said you were going to follow Jesus together, and then you know what, maybe that friend kind of stepped away from it and all of a sudden you're left alone. And here's the deal, everyone is okay, just so you know this, just like with my shorter beard, everyone is okay if you do things in what they consider to be appropriate doses. Like if you just have a short beard, it's fine. People don't say anything about that. If your faith is just kind of, you know what, it's just kind of a small thing that you do, it doesn't affect anyone else, that's fine. But when your faith begins to grow and when your relationship with God begins to grow, all of a sudden, people have an opinion about it. People want to say something about it. There's some pressure. And sometimes in the beard growth process, it was looking kind of mangy. And it wasn't really growing right. And I didn't really know how to comb it or how to brush it. Or do I comb it or do I brush it? Do I shampoo it? Do you condition your beard? I don't know. I'm wondering all these things. And it's the same way with your story and your relationship with Jesus. You're navigating through this newness so much of the time. And then someone walks up to you, spur of the moment, and you're not ready. And they say, hey, what's your story? And you say, I don't know if I have one. Just like I did last night. And in the same way that I'm convinced now that every beard has a story, every one of you has a story. But I wonder if you've taken the time to process through that and think through what your story is. What were the times that you were pressured, and what were the times that you doubted, and what were the times that you wanted to quit, and what were the things and the obstacles that came in your way, and what were the ways that you navigated through them so that when someone comes up to you and they see that you're a believer and they say, hey, I'm wondering how you handle these things. What grade are you in? Senior? So when a sophomore walks up and they say, how did you navigate through these years of high school? What did you do with these pressures and the expectations? What did you do when other people were partying? That you processed through, you've thought about it, because you're living the answer for right or for wrong. You're living the answer right now. You're writing your story right now. My seniors in the room, I love that you have white lanterns on so I can tell who the graduated seniors are, so I can know who is supposed to be stepping up and leading. I love that. And next year, you're going to have a year of college under your belt. And you're going to know things that many other people in the room don't know. But I wonder if you're going to process through what your story is. Compact it in a way that you can share it and you can tell it to people, that it might encourage them as well. I want us to look here at Acts chapter 9 at the story of Paul. He has a story. And I want us to look at a few things that I believe we can pull out of this story, pull out of Paul's story, that will help us in our own story. And I'm using the word story. A lot of times we'll use the word testimony. Here's what happens. Paul, who at this time is known as Saul, is the number one persecutor against the church. He is out to kill Christians. He is going to bust down the doors of the church, and he is going to find Christians, and he has a document from the authorities that says, if you find Christians, you can arrest them and you can bring them into me. And if you need to kill them, you can kill them. It starts off in the very beginning of chapter 9. It says, but Paul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of Jesus. He's passionately seeking out killing these people. So here he is. He is going one direction in life. So he's riding in with his crew. They're on their horses and they're hanging out and they're headed into a certain town. And on the way to that town, God decides to step in. Just like he did with me and many of you, he decides, I want that person. I want to use them that other people might know who I am. I want to use them to change their life, that other people might hear their story and be changed. And so he steps in, and you've probably heard the story before, and bright lights shine down, and they knock Paul to the ground, and he's laying on the ground, and he can't see because the light is so bright. And a loud voice speaks to Paul. And the people around him, they hear it. And can you imagine, you hear a voice and you don't see anyone. That's just pretty weird. I got talking with Timothy earlier today. We got to hang out for a little bit. It was enjoyable. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed talking with you mostly because I could see you and you were right there. It would have been really weird if we were talking to each other and we couldn't see each other. We were blindfolded. I'd be wondering what you looked like. Is he a good-looking guy? Is he not? Does he have a Hawaiian-type shirt on from PacSun or not? I don't know. But he does. Look, there it is. It's a good-looking shirt. And so the guys are a little bit freaked out because they hear this loud voice. They're seeing this bright light, but they can't see anybody. So Paul gets up and he's blind. He can't see and he doesn't know what to do. And so the guys, they take him in to the city and they just kind of drop him off. So here's where I want to pick up because it's so important. He says right here in verse 8, it says this. Saul rose from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he saw nothing. So they led him by the hand into Damascus. Interesting. You see, right before that, there was a command coming from Jesus in verse 7 and verse 8, and it said, sorry, in verse 5, 6, and 7, and it said this: I am Jesus who you are persecuting. Rise and enter the city, and you will be told what to do. Knocked on the ground, bright light. And God thunders with a loud voice and says, rise up, you can't see. Rise up and go into the city. I'll tell you what to do. The first part of Paul's story and the first part of your story starts with obedience. So if we're writing down just some things that'll help us along the way, identify some areas in our story, a great thing to write down would be obedience. Because Paul was willing to obey, even though he didn't have all the information yet. He goes there and he spends some time. He spends 3 days and he's blind. And then a guy comes to him, and Ananias, and he helps him out. And he prays over him and his eyes are opened up. And then what begins to happen is Paul begins to go and do God's work. God said, here's what you're going to do. And Paul begins to follow through with that. And in verse 20, it says this. He proclaimed Jesus, this is Paul, in the synagogues, saying he is the Son of God. So part of his story, so we're looking through here. The first part is that there was something that happened to Paul. Paul chose to obey God. And then Paul chose to share about God. A lot of you are going to experience things this week, and you're going to step out in faith, maybe even for the first time, and try things and experience things and let God work in your heart and give over areas of your heart to God that you've never given him before in obedience, which is going to be great. But I wonder if when you go home, you're going to share them. I wonder if in your cabin time before you went to bed, if you shared them. I wonder if the last two nights when God was stirring in your heart and he was telling you to get up and go find someone and be prayed over and pray with them, confess something. I wonder if you shared that. It's a big stopping point in the story if he doesn't, right? But it was one of the most pivotal things in the story. You see, if we continue on in verse 23 through 25, we'll see that when we're willing to be obedient, when we're sharing what God is doing in our life, that God, in sometimes in ways we don't understand, but always will remain faithful, because all of a sudden, pressure starts to come. And for Paul, the pressure was death. People want to kill him because people don't like what he's saying. Unfortunately, there are people that, spiritually speaking, will want you to fail. My sweet seniors that are going to school next year. Unfortunately, studies have not changed yet. And while you're in school for the next 4 years, 87% of you are not going to go to church. And unfortunately, more than 50% of your teachers want nothing to do, and I don't care whether you're going to a private school or public school or anything, want nothing to do with the Bible or Jesus. Especially those of you that are going to be studying science. The pressure will get real. And for Paul it did. It says here, when many days had passed, the Jews plotted to kill him. But their plot became known to Saul. They were watching the gates day and night in order to kill him. But Paul's disciples took him by the night and let him down through an opening in the wall, lowering him in a basket. God made a way for him to escape out because he had a plan for him. I wonder if you've pushed far enough into your story. I'm breaking things up here. If you've pushed far enough into your story that you've had an opportunity to obey God and you've had an opportunity to share what God's doing in your life, and then you've had an opportunity to see God really be faithful, because that's when it starts to get real. I wonder if you've processed your story enough to identify those things, that it might encourage your heart. You see, there was something so key here that I skipped over. I wanted to save it to the end because there was two key happenings in this story that I think really made the difference for Saul. The first one was Ananias. Saul's blind, he's helpless, he's laying there, and he's waiting on someone to come over and pray for him that he might be unblind. And God begins to talk to Ananias and say, Ananias, you got to go over to Saul and you got to pray for him. And Ananias is like, he's a killer. No. And God says, no, you got to do it. So Ananias steps into Saul's life. God uses him to make a way. And I believe possibly even, and this is a story doesn't really tell this, but as I'm just looking through and I'm speculating, I believe possibly even that was Paul realizing, you know what? This community of Jesus followers, that's what it's about. It was probably the first time Paul was realizing that there was something to brotherhood in Jesus Christ. That there was something to sisterhood in Jesus Christ. that when someone prayed over him, because Paul was sitting there, he had just encountered the living God. You don't think that he had been talking to him and asking him questions for 3 days as he laid there blind, begging him, God, would you open my eyes? If it's really you, would you open my eyes? And nothing, and nothing. And then Ananias walks in, lays his hand on him and says, eyes be open. And the scripture says, scales, something like scales fell from his eyes and his eyes were opened, he could see. And Paul thought, I need other people in my life. So he escapes out. And what does he do when he escapes out in verse 27? It says, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared to them how on the road he had seen the Lord, who spoke to him, and how at Damascus he had preached boldly in the name of Jesus. So then Paul went in and out among Jerusalem, preaching the gospel. I was talking with Oliver last night. He was sharing with me, and I loved his heart in this, and I didn't ask his permission to share this, so you can beat me up later. But he was sharing with me that he had met someone at his school that was older than he was, goes to the same school, and seemed like a great guy. And he was asking my opinion on if he thought that would be a great person to mentor him this next year at school. And we just kind of talked about it for a minute and shared through it. And I had some thoughts and he had some thoughts and it was a good moment. But it really impacted my heart because there's really not a lot of young people that see the idea of needing someone older than them and seeking that out so intently even before school starts that they might have someone to invest in them. And a huge key to the story, a huge part of it, is that Barnabas was there for Paul to set him up and say, hey, Paul, let me bring you in and let me show you what it's like. I wonder if when you go back, and I wonder if even right now as you sit here, if you identify someone in your life that speaks truth into you. Because a huge part of what happens at camp is not the fact that I get up here and read scripture and teach. A huge part of what happens at camp is not the fact that there's worship, and it's good, guys. You guys are doing awesome. And I love worshiping with you guys. A huge part of it is the fact that you have this constant connection with these counselors that are here. You have these one-on-one times you get to talk with them. There was a group of you guys that stayed up last night and you were just talking and asking questions and sharing for hours until 1 a.m. When you go home, will you find someone? And will you say to them, hey, I don't know how much you know, but you might know a little more than me. Would you disciple me? Would you be there for me? Could I ask you questions? Would you mentor me? Instead of trying to just do it by ourselves. But so often, we try to do it by ourselves. And I hope as you process through your story, you would identify times and you would look forward to how you can craft that and share that and tell it to people, that you would find in such a way a time when you were obedient to God, a time when you began to share what God was doing in your life, and then a time when God was faithful to you. But most of that you would begin to think and spin your wheels and find somewhere in your mind or a relationship or someone you've met or someone you could have a conversation with, someone else that you could bring into your story that would help you along the way, and maybe even you would help them along the way. And then at the same time, I wonder where you're at in your story, if you could be that someone else also. Who is it that's 2 grades below you? Who is it that you're seeing this week at camp that's just a few months back from your experience with God? That you need to start meeting with and texting with and talking with and sharing scripture with and encouraging them in their faith and their relationship with God so that they wouldn't do it alone. We're not meant to do it alone. that you would obey, that you would share, that you would find God faithful, that you would find someone else to pour into your life, and that you would pour into someone else's life. Those would be great things as you navigate through what your story and what your testimony is. Starting now, maybe even a few months back, and especially as we go home. Let me pray for us. The band's going to come up and lead us in a response song. It'd be a great time to reflect. And maybe there's even someone in the room that you think would be a great person to go up to and ask and talk with them. Last year, I was speaking at a camp at Sabine Creek. Not as cool as this camp. I had a good time. There was a guy there. His name was Jonathan. Never met Jonathan before. He was part of the staff at the camp. And Jonathan came up to me and he said, "Hey, man, you know what? Like, you seem like a great guy. I was wondering, this is kind of weird, but I was wondering if you would, you know, be able or interested in discipling me or investing in me." I've known this guy, never seen him before in my life. He came up to me and asked me that. And I said, "You know what, Jonathan?" I said, "Let me pray about that, man." We exchanged phone numbers, and turns out he actually lives in Dallas, over near me. And so we started a relationship a year ago. We started meeting every other week. Started texting often, calling each other. He would call me all the time. I would call him. We would encourage each other. And discipleship began. And we wrestled through things together. And it's been good, and he's grown. And I've had to push him. And you know what? It's pushed me. And there are people in my life that do the same thing for me. I wonder if you have a relationship like that. I'd encourage you to have one. Let me pray. God, thank you for all the stories that are in this room. And for the way you're leading hearts, and for how you're calling us to obey, and how you're proving yourself faithful, God. God, let our mouths and our actions share all that you're doing inside of our hearts, Lord. Encourage us to think about our story, and encourage us to find someone that would be a mentor or a disciple to us. Thank you for your word and that it's true. We pray this in your name.